This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So today I'm going to speak on the subject of the peace of Christ. And before I do that, I will just ask you to imagine peace. Like, what picture comes to your mind when you think of peace? Anything. And make sure that you keep to that picture. Is it like oceans and it's just quiet, or mountains? What comes to your mind when you think of peace? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, just that once again we can gather in your presence and listen to your word and praise your name. Lord, we pray that speak to us, for we are ready to listen to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So do you have that picture of what peace is? So I'm going to ask a question, and before I do, just a reminder that you're in church, so don't lie when I ask this question. So raise your hand if the picture of peace you had more than 15 people in that picture. There's one person. Raise your hand if the picture of peace you had more than 5 people. A few hands. For those online, so far the hand count is 3. Raise your hand if the picture of peace you had at least 2 people in it. No one. Raise your hand if there was one person in that picture. So not even yourself. So you see, when we think of peace, sometimes we think of it as the absence of things, or absence of people even. The perfect picture we can imagine of peace is whereby the ocean is still, nothing is happening, or in the mountains, the scenery is just so beautiful, and there's no one there. But if that's peace, then when can we ever get it? Because we have people in here. So if that's a picture of peace, and if truly that's what peace is, then it's really hard for us to attain. Because where are we going to go? We won't find anyone. Well, you can isolate yourself, but we know life is pretty hard if you're by yourself. And we'll constantly come into contact with other people and situations around us, which might make peace to be very hard to attain. So to start with, we can say peace is not only the absence of something. We'll finish this statement later. And when you look at the Bible, there's different kinds of peace that the Bible talks about. There might be more, but I just picked 3, and you can subdivide them in other areas. But the Bible does talk of peace with other people. It does talk of peace with God, and it also does talk of peace of God. Peace with other people, we can read in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So this is the peace that we have. I believe there's at least 3 reasons that we're not fighting right now in this room. The first one is some of us are just too weak, and I don't want to go home without my teeth, so I don't want to fight you at all. I don't want that. Secondly, we're not fighting here because hopefully I've not wronged you and you've not wronged me, so I have no motivation to fight you. Thirdly, we've been commanded to love one another. If you remember the sermon from last week, it was talking about love, and love is a command that we've been given. You might not like me, but you've been commanded to love me. And if you love me and if I love you, then we shouldn't be in conflict. Why should I hurt you? Because hurting you will be doing damage to you. And if I love you, I don't think damaging you is what is in line with loving you. So we're commanded to love one another, and we're commanded to live at peace with everyone. And you see the verses, as far as it depends on you, because sometimes you just can't do everything to maintain that peace. You can love me as much as you want to, but I can walk up to you and slap you in the face if I'm crazy or something. And we see sometimes why you sitting, or you can hear of countries perfectly, and trouble comes from without, and then it's not in your power to maintain that peace. But still the verse says, for as long as you can, as far as it depends on you, maintain peace. And this is very important, but especially for what's going on around us, but it won't be the focus of our talk today. The second type of peace is a peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace is the one which we originally had at creation. When God made man and woman in the Garden of Eden, we lived in harmony and peace with God. But because we sinned, that peace was broken. And there's enmity between us and God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, we read, While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So we are enemies of Christ before we come to God. And there's peace that comes, the peace with God, when we get saved, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, because then the wrath of God is not on us. And again, we want, as far as this is important, this kind of peace actually is a guarantee for any kind of peace that we can think of. The second peace we're going to talk about, the peace of God, is hindered, or it's hinged on this one. We need peace with God before we can experience the peace of God. But still, it won't be the one we'll be talking about today. Instead, we'll talk about the peace of God, and from that we can read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is what we'll talk about today. Saying it surpasses all understanding simply means it refers to the divine origin of this peace. It transcends all human intellect, analysis, and insight. This is the kind of peace that's not dependent on the circumstances or what's going on around us. And we'll have a look at one example to see this in real life. And that example is from the book of Acts. And there's so many things that happen in the book of Acts. The first few verses, you see the church forming up and the church growing rapidly. And there's some key figures who are like at the helm of that expansion. One of them is James and Peter. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, we read, About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. That just means he beheaded him. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, before I finish this, just let's take a small pause. So this guy is in prison, right? And basically he knows the following day they're going to kill him. Previously, James has been killed. James, if you know, Jesus had disciples, and James was one of the disciples. But James, Peter, and John were like the inner circle of the disciples of Jesus Christ. So Peter and John were pretty close friends. Not only are they disciples of Jesus, they're like part of that inner circle of the disciples of Jesus. So they spent a lot of time together. And so Peter is at the moment when this closest friend of his has been killed, and he's in prison himself. And I can assure you there was no hint of doubt in Peter's mind. He was sure that the following day he too was going to be killed. Why? Because Peter is, like, when you read Acts, he's a big name, you know. Everyone knows that guy. And this king kills James, and people are so excited about it. The next movie is get the top guy, right? So that people even be more pleased. So Peter knows that without any hint of doubt, when I wake up tomorrow, or even if I don't sleep tonight, when tomorrow comes, my life is gone. And think about that. Like, what would you do if you knew that today's the last day and tomorrow you'll be dead? And not only dead, but you'll be killed. What would you do the night before? Would you be singing, writing songs, crying? What would you do? You know, I'm blessed in so many things. Like, I think God has really blessed me. And one of the things he's blessed me with is sleeping. Like, I can easily sleep. I really don't struggle with sleep. So when I'm tired, I can just go in bed and I'll be gone in a few minutes. And one time I remember I had a very big family growing up. So the boys had their own bedroom and the girls had their own. And we also had like a servant on a guest room in the house. And one night, for some reason, I decided that I wanted to sleep in that room, in the guest room, by myself. I was about 13, 14. So I went in, locked my room, and slept peacefully. And I think I was having a very good dream until towards the end. You know, whereby you're dreaming and someone is banging on your door? And I woke up, and actually, it was people banging on my door because they were trying to get in to wake me up to go to school, and I was so asleep. I can sleep. Okay. Now I don't sleep dead like that, but I used to, you know, where I'm sleeping and people can bang on my door for 15 minutes, I won't hear anything. But even with being blessed with that kind of sleep that I have, there are days when something is coming up and the night before I just can't find any sleep. If I'm maybe going for a big trip, I remember the time I was living in the UK before and I was going back home. And I spent that whole night crying because I was so afraid. Not afraid, I was just so sad that I'm leaving my friends and everyone behind me. And such days are scattered all. Sometimes just a big assignment that you have and just can't find any sleep. And here we read this guy in verse 6. Now Herod, the last part of verse 6, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. This guy knew that when tomorrow comes, he's going to face the worst day of his life. He's going to die. And the night before, the guy is sleeping, you know. Why would you do that? Would you sleep if you knew someone is going to kill you tomorrow? Even when you know that someone is going to rob your house, they've told you, I'm not kidding you, this is not a prank, it's tomorrow, this time I'm coming to rob your house. Would you really go to bed and sleep? Peter did this because he had peace. This is not the peace that's based on the circumstances around him. Everything around him was screaming to Peter, this is not the time to sleep. And of course, the point I'm trying to make here is that when things are hard, sleeping, of course, is not the right thing to do all the time. Because sometimes sleeping is actually running away from the problems. It's like going and burying your head in the sand. You don't want to face the problems that are before you. But I think that's not the example we get from Peter here. Of course, in some other verses, you'd find the apostles, when they're in prison, they'll be actually singing and praising songs. But as I said, look at the circumstances that Peter was in at this time, particular time. I don't think sleeping is one of those that you look at and be like, I think this guy is trying to run away from his trouble, because he had no way out. And so for us, what will this look like? It will be in a difficult circumstance, and we can see it in the way what we do actually when things are hard. Are we going to sleep like Peter, be peaceful and sleep? Or are we going to pray? And when we pray, what are we praying? Because also in our prayers, it shows a lot whether we have peace in our hearts or not. With all that's going on around, I don't know about you, maybe you saw some a video of people in Ukraine, like in a subway, and they're singing. Some Christians, they were singing in a subway. The video has been circulating around. I don't know if you've come across it. And I was like, how can you do that? You know, like, war is literally on your doorstep. People are invading your country, and you go in a subway and sing. And I was just interested, and I was like, I wonder what they're singing about. Maybe they're just like, Lord, save us. Lord, why are you doing this to us? But I went on and saw the lyrics of the song they're singing. And the last part of that song says, Lord, I know that you're with us in your heavenly temple. Joy and peace you have given. You gave your life for the people, wrote them in the book of life. This just happened like a few days ago in Ukraine. And you wonder what kind of peace was probably in those people's hearts with war just at their doorsteps, and they're singing such a beautiful song. So of course, sleeping is not the solution all the time. But you can almost hear the psalmist, can't you? In Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, in peace I both laid down and sleep, because for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's that peace that comes knowing that whatever happens, whatever comes tomorrow, God is going to be with me. So how do we get this peace then? We read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And before I go on, we make several mistakes when reading the Bible. Not interpretation of what's written, but just reading, like straight from reading. So for example, if you ask people, what's the last book of the Bible? They'll be like, Revelations. And there's no such book in the Bible. It's called Revelation, not Revelations. There's a very big difference there. It's one revelation. And also it comes when we read this with this verse. It says, but the fruit. It doesn't say fruits. Did you see that? You can take any, what do you call it, like different versions of the Bible. It will say fruit. It's a collective singular. It's not fruits. Just saying that. Because what happens if you don't, you read this verse and you're like, but the fruits of the Spirit is blah, 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 blah. And you'll be like, well, I got the fruit of peace, but I didn't get the fruit of joy. That's not the case. It says, but the fruit, it's one. So everyone who has the Spirit is expected to have this fruit, and it's one. And in that fruit, one of the components of that fruit is peace. So why is this important? It's important because, as I said, if you know that it's one fruit, then you know that everyone who has the Holy Spirit, because this is the fruit of the Spirit, should have this peace we're talking about. It is a gift, or it's a fruit of the Spirit. So if you have the Spirit in you, you should have this. And before I go on further, I will kind of take a detour to kind of illustrate my point just a bit more and talk about imperatives and indicatives. Those are just English words. Imperative is like a command, do something. Indicative is like just a statement of a fact, just telling you, this is a microphone. I think we both know that, right? That's a microphone. That's an imperative. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just stating a fact. That's a microphone. But I can tell you, speak into the microphone. I'm telling you to do something. That's an imperative. And the Bible is full of such things. It will tell you something, and it will tell you to do something. Those are different things, and you have to know what the difference is. So God commands us to do stuff, the imperatives, and it's based on what he's already done. Those are the indicatives, what God has already done, the indicatives. The indicatives tell me what's been done, and the imperatives tell me what I must do. For example, the scripture already is not, it's not on the slides, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." What have we been taught to do? We've been taught to be kind and compassionate. That's an imperative. Do this. And the latter part of the verse says, "Just as in Christ God forgave you." That's an indicative. That's what's already been done. And where am I going with this? So, for those who are saved, Christ or God gives us the Holy Spirit. That's already been done. And through the Holy Spirit, we come with the gifts or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of which is peace. That's already been done. So the peace is already in us. We just have to realize that. And there is power in remembering that and in knowing who we are. And to just give an example of this, without shame, who has watched The Lion King? Like 1994, the old one? Come on, you've not seen The Lion King, guys? But there is a scene in The Lion King. Simba is all grown up, and Nala finds him. And Nala is like, "You have to go back to the kingdom. You have to... It's in shambles. You have to go back. Scar's made a mess out of it." And Simba is like, "No, I can't go back. I'm not who I used to be anymore." Then moments later, this monkey guy shows up on the scene and tells Simba some nice words and eventually leads him to a place where the father appears in the clouds. What does the father of Simba say to the son? He says, "Go back." And Simba is like, "No, I can't. I'm not who I used to be anymore." And Mufasa is like, "Remember who you are." I just wish I can say that in a deep voice of the Mufasa voice. And he's like, "Remember who you are." And he echoes that for a few times. And do you notice that after doing that, Simba runs back? The only thing that Mufasa said was, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are, remember who you are." And the voice fades away, and it's like in the brain of Simba, something just clicks, and he runs back. You know why that is? Because there's power in knowing who we are. There is great power in knowing who we are, and it starts there with experiencing the peace of Christ. Because Christ has given us the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, we have this fruit in us, and in it is peace. We just have to live it out. Of course, there's things we have to do. We have to do certain things, but it starts from there. I don't have to manufacture peace by myself. Christ has given it to me. I just have to remember that, and like Simba, run to achieve my destiny. So as we look at some other things on how you can get peace and stuff, remember that if you have the Spirit of Christ, it is expected of you to have the fruit of the Spirit, and one of it is peace. In Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Thessalonians, we read, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you." The Lord of peace himself give you peace. It's a gift. It's given to us. We don't need to do much or anything, actually. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 15, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones." See that? So that's like an indicative right there. As God's chosen ones. Because you've been chosen, put on these things. And it says, "Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." So the starting point is, as chosen ones, put on this. Have peace because you've been called and you've been chosen by Christ. Going back again to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus." What were you supposed to do to get that peace? We ought not to be anxious, and we ought to pray in everything. But with prayer, with thanksgiving, we have to make our requests be made known to God. But there is one important factor in experiencing peace, and it's like your, what's the right statement? Is it like, do you say cheese on your sandwich or something? Like, what do you call the important thing of something, right? It's like the icing on the cake, how to experience peace. And we read it in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You're keeping in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You know, anyone gone fishing before? Out at sea, fishing? No one. You guys should be more adventurous. Okay, so there's someone there. Okay, the thing is, I've never done it myself as well, but if you go fishing, sometimes, especially if you're not used to being on water, and it's a bit turbulent, you get maybe motion sick and stuff. You know what the best thing to do is? You're on a boat and it's a bit turbulent. One of the best things you can do so that you avoid getting sick is to maybe look at the shore and find something that's stable, something that's not moving, and look at that. And when you do, it will aid in your sickness. You won't feel sick. And this verse is like, you're keeping perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And we see this quite perfectly with Peter. In Matthew, you read of Jesus walking on water. That's also a very funny story if you read it carefully, because the disciples are on sea and it's windy and it's blowing, and this figure starts appearing from the distance, and they're so scared who this might be. If you are scared and you don't know who's coming towards you, I can give you some life advice here. Don't be like Peter. Peter was like, Lord, if it is you, call me to come to you. Like, if you don't know who's there, like, how can you be like, I want to come where you are? You don't do that. You have to first figure out if that person is safe for you to go to. First identify their identity, and then you can walk towards them. But anyway, so Jesus is like, you can come to me. And Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking. And he's there, right, walking on water, everything is safe. And then we read in Matthew that when he saw the wind, he started sinking. You know, same as when you're at sea, and when troubles come, you have to keep your focus on Christ. And the wind will come and everything will come, but you'll be safe. Once you take your focus from Christ, once you look what's going on around you, then you'll start sinking. You're keeping in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I love also how the verse is, like, starts with you, who's Jesus himself, who's God, and also it ends with him. He keeps us in peace if we stay focused on him and we put our minds on him. There is a lady in New Zealand called Michelle Londes. I don't think you know her. She's not very popular. But when in the early 90s, she got married to her husband, and after a few months, she fell pregnant for a baby, but unfortunately, she had a miscarriage. A few months later, she fell pregnant again, but unfortunately, again, she had another miscarriage. Third time, got pregnant, and unfortunately, again, another miscarriage. Fourth time, she got pregnant, and this time, she was like, Lord, if I get another miscarriage, I'm going to give up. But God came through and blessed her with a son. Again, she fell pregnant, and God blessed her with another son. And again, she fell pregnant. It was another miscarriage. But after that, also, God blessed her with two more children. And in total, they had four children. But in that life, especially with the last miscarriage, when she states of how hard it hit her, like just losing like four sons or four children, and just so devastating. And yet, in all her grief, she penned down these words, which I found very encouraging. She said, God's tender love and peace is what we all long for in a world so hopelessly chaotic, so unstable and unsure. It brings stability to our minds and calmness to our souls, for that is what we desperately need, as this world can be so cold. We need to have God's peace when turmoil is in our lives, for God's peace doesn't depend on the daily pressures of life. When we have those restful days, God's peace can often soothe and bring us such a quiet hope that chases away the blues. So remember when you feel the pressure on, remember Jesus Christ. Receive the peace he gives as his daily dose for life. You know, the life can be really hard. This week with all what's going on in Ukraine, but also for me just stuff going back home. This week's been crazy where you wake up, you check your Facebook, and there's just been news of people taking their own lives, and not even old people. We're talking about people my age, 25, 24, and in that age. Even today, woke up and one guy, just yesterday, late in the evening, took his own life. And you can sit down and be like, why on earth would a 25-year-old guy take his own life? Why on earth? What could happen in such a life? What can cause that? And it's because this world can be so cold. This world is filled with trouble. Of course, there's war going on somewhere, but even deep in our hearts, there's so much as well which can go on. And we need the peace of God. As this poem says, God's tender love and peace is what we all long for in a world so hopelessly chaotic. It brings stability to our minds and calmness to our souls, for that is what we desperately need, as this world can be so cold. So peace is not the absence of something, but peace is actually found in someone. It's found in the presence of someone. In Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 to 6, it reads, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that flies by day. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." It's in the presence of Christ, in the presence of God, under his wings, that's where we find peace. A peace that's not dependent on the circumstances that are around us, what's going on, but is stable and it's true and it's sure. Because, you know, this week, also last week, I was kind of excited, you know, like the news of COVID slowly fading away. We're like, great, we're back to normal. And then something else breaks up. And I can almost assure you, like, once the world cools down, something else might come up and it will be hitting the headlines. Constantly, there's something out there. There's trouble in the world. And we can only find peace in the wings or in the presence of Jesus Christ. And as I said, this peace comes to us because it's been given to us. It's a gift of God. And so that also means that for those who don't have this gift, there is no peace. And Isaiah 48, verse 22 summarizes beautifully. It says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." That's like just straight out there, no cutting on the bush or anything. "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." What that means basically is for those who have not found Christ, for those who the Spirit of God has not been given to them, this truth that we talked about, it's not present to them, and for them there is no peace. What peace are we talking about? It's the peace of God. It's a peace where, surrounded by trouble like Peter, we can still go to bed and sleep, not because we're running away from the problems, but because we trust in a God who's able to carry us through the night. And we are safe and at peace in God's arms of love. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the peace that you bring. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace and you're the Lord of Peace, and that you offer us peace free of charge. We just need to walk and come to you, and that in your presence, Lord, we have this peace. Thank you, Lord, that this is a gift that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do anything to earn it. It is just a gift, and we can just gladly walk into your presence, Lord, and be at peace. And Lord, yes, they can pray earlier. We just want to remember the situation in Russia and Ukraine, Lord, for those where this might be a very hard reality to grasp, Father. Lord, I pray that may you bring peace to that region. But also, Lord, in our own hearts, we might be thousands of kilometers from where the war is going on. But Lord, we know that our hearts can be troubled as well. There's so much that goes on in the world which might cause our hearts to be troubled. Lord, I pray, may you bring peace to our hearts, Father. Give us peace, Lord, to walk day by day trusting in you, Father, because you are able to carry us through. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and for this precious gift that you've given us. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, amen. And just before I go, like when we were praying for this during the intercession earlier, Renee did also have just this picture of people in a boat in a stormy weather where it's just rocking back and forth. And I believe there might be such people today who are in such a hard place, with storms all around you. They can just ask that if you want prayer, you can come to the Kian on this side. And I think blessing also joined for the ladies that we pray for you so that you experience that peace of Christ in the storm that you're in right now. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.